Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hi, this is Zach Meir, and today I'm joined by Leon Coetzer, who is CEO at Jubilee Metals Group. How are you today, Leon?
I'm very good, thank you, man. Thanks for the opportunity.
Right. Jubilee Metals has been keen to emphasize the diversification in terms of metals and geographies, but what is the main focus and goal of the group?
Sure. I mean, Jubilee is a company where we use our industry process expertise to unlock opportunities to recover metals and minerals from resources typically overlooked by traditional mining and processing companies. You know, if you look at our company, our PGM and chrome business is a classic example of just that, where we make significant returns on resources that was not valued by the industry. Our fine chrome facilities, for instance, are processing materials that were rejected previously as waste, and then the waste we so make from that process, we still recover PGM-rich concentrate from that. So it's a philosophy we apply on resources from the mining industry, and our Kabwe in Zambia is yet another classic example of that philosophy. So our diversification drive is more of a natural outcome of the techniques and the process philosophies we apply to these resources. And that takes us across metal groups and mining jurisdictions.
So you're diversified, really, apart from the mitigating risk, it's just because you can extract metals, for different types of metals, all over the place.
Exactly. If you've got at our core, our processing philosophy, our processing techniques, you can apply that across metal groups and across mining jurisdictions where the opportunities lie. We are not constrained to a specific metal in a specific jurisdiction.
Okay, and does metals, you know, metal recovery imply a process which may not be significant in terms of output as compared to traditional mining? Is that how it works?
Well, I mean, by its very nature, processing projects such as these typically have a smaller footprint. But if you look at what we've done in South Africa, where we use these projects as a central processing hub from which we bring in and supplement the feed with third-party material. If you take our Windsor project, where a component of our feed supply is, of course, this resource is overlooked by so many mining resources, and we supplement that feed with further third-party material, we have a processing capacity at Windsor of 70,000 tons per month of ore, which is big in anyone's language. So the project individually might be small, but in all our projects, we create a central processing hub where we supplement the project with traditionally mined run-of-mine ore.
Right, so, I mean, you've sort of partly answered my next question, but so this business is scalable, and, you know, does it have advantages or disadvantages as compared to, you know, the traditional mining?
Yeah, scalable for sure. You know, if you look at, again, at our company, how we grew a couple of 2-3 years back, we had Dilokon Chrome, where initially we started on 20,000-25,000 tons a month. We've scaled that our operations to 50,000 tons at Hoornik and now 70,000 tons at Windsor. So being a process-focused company, designing of our processes, you know, scalability is a fundamental component of the designs. But equally, if you look at our corporate transactions, as our balance sheet grew, as our earnings grew in our company, the size of our projects grew. Just this year alone, we've invested $28 million into acquisition and capital in scaling up our operations.
Right. I mean, one of the aspects that I've listened to you know, many of your interviews, one of the aspects which hasn't really been emphasized, which seems to be the sort of the elephant in the room, is that, you know, you are actually a very environmental company. It's a, you know, the impact, it's green, you know, you're actually you know, saving the environment rather than, let's say, doing what other mining companies do. Is that something that you're keen to emphasize?
Interesting question. I actually really like that question. Yes, so from the outset, it's another area where Jubilee distinguishes itself from our competitors. We run a very strict, what we call, zero effluent policy in all our designs. That basically means that all effluent we create from our processes is either contained or fully sterilized to avoid any continued environmental contamination or endangering people's health going forward. So the approach has two effects. One is it forces our engineers to review and drive efficiencies because we have to extract all metals from the processes. So it had a massive knock-on effect and was actually the seed from which we developed our fine chrome project, which is the first of its kind in the world. And the other component of it is it draws us into debates with large established companies because they know they're working with a responsible processor. And we're getting backing from government, it's the Zambian government, to review their waste portfolio in the country because they know, as you said, part of our net process or a natural outcome of our process is, in fact, the rehabilitation drive, which is the outcome of what we do.
And does that affect the efficiency? I mean, does that affect your margins being sustainable in that way?
No, actually quite the opposite. Because it's a fundamental part of our design, it's not an afterthought that we try and add onto our designs. It drives our efficiencies. It is why in Zambia, at our Kabwe project, we are able to achieve both lead, zinc, and vanadium recoveries out of a waste, where previously it was only targeted to be a lead and zinc recovery project. So in fact, it is that enhanced our recoveries and our margin at Kabwe rather than the opposite. And it also brings projects onto the table that wouldn't be on the table if you weren't that environmentally strict.
Right. I mean, you're clearly gaining a good position in your space. Proving some people wrong in terms of what the upside is from what you're doing. But surely this might encourage others to get into, to start trying to steal your lunch. What are the barriers to entry for those, who think that they might be able to compete with you?
I know you're spot on correct. I mean, the more, there's an ever-increasing focus on waste and potential waste reprocessing. It's a low capital entry. People have sometimes this misperception of low risk on certain of these projects. So yes, you're quite correct. More and more companies are reviewing this as a potential strategy. With that comes the barrier to entry. And the biggest barrier to entry is that it's taken us years to develop our ability to be able to accurately evaluate an opportunity, develop and de-risk the solution, and rapidly implement it. Those things we've created doesn't come overnight. And we use that ability to, in fact, extend our position in this industry. Yes, there are advantages because you don't have a mining component, but equally you need to be sure that your technical ability to unravel the process required to extract the metal out of that waste, because the metal was in that waste for a very good reason, is key to enter. And many companies have attempted to enter this industry only to find out that they do not have that technical ability to actually recover that metal.
So you're in a good position now. What's the bias now? Is it towards expanding and acquiring, or is it towards consolidating and getting a ramping up profitability?
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. Yes, we are consolidating our platinum group metals and our chrome footprint in South Africa because we've established ourselves as a dominant player in that space. So we're certainly looking at consolidating those operations and have a natural expansion of those operations in South Africa. But at the same time, we've worked so hard to take this leading position in this processing and waste reprocessing industry that we want to capitalize on that lead. And we are offered so many opportunities within Africa, Southern Africa, and other mining jurisdictions. We definitely are pursuing that growth to diversify our earnings, grow our earnings before simply consolidating what we've got.
And how much, as you've diversified across different metals, how much do the prices of those metals and the volatility there affect your business? And can you sort of turn the tap off and turn the tap on easily when depending on the conditions?
Yeah, sure. Well, of course, we are exposed to metals, but because every single project we have has a multi-metal component to it. For example, in South Africa, where we are exposed to both chrome and PGMs at a single project, while chrome might be currently suffering from depressed prices, we at the same time have palladium and rhodium having an exceptional year on prices. So the earnings of such a project is well buffered from a single metal group experiencing a short-term slump. Equally to that, because we don't have the mining cost component on our projects, we are naturally buffered from being placed at the very bottom end of cost per ton of metal produced. So yes, we are well buffered. multi-metal strategies. In Zambia is no different, where we again, we have copper, lead, zinc, and vanadium from a single project. There's that cross-buffering happening on that project. But being a surface project, it's equally simpler to have to turn off that project if ever one had to reach that point, although it's very unlikely with these type of surface projects.
Right, and clearly Kabwe is a key project. What are the timelines there to look out for?
Very much key for us. It's a project we're driving really hard. The media timeline, of course, is we've since acquiring that refinery adjacent to all that material. We have brought the acid plant back into operation already. Our copper recovery circuit is into operation, and we started plating our first copper, a very exciting moment on that project. So this month of October, we're starting to plate our first copper product from that refinery. Our next key target then kick in is, of course, the zinc and vanadium circuits, which are currently under construction. They set to come into operation within the first half of next year. And then lead will follow towards the end of towards the end of next year. It's big drivers on that project. Very excited with the first copper coming out, and looking forward to delivering the first zinc and vanadium within the first half of next year on that project.
And what can you tell me about the earnings growth that you've had to date? How is that panning out?
Sure. If you look at our company, we've had an exceptional past 2 years. We've gone from having a Delacon chrome project to adding on the Hoenig platinum group metals project to adding on the Windsor chrome project. August, we commissioned. This year, we commissioned our Northam joint venture platinum project. And, of course, Kabwe kicking in now onto its copper production. And next year, with the zinc and vanadium coming in, we've been able to deliver this exceptional earnings growth half year on half year. And therefore, one can expect with the size and the magnitude of a Kabwe project coming on stream in next year, is that that project has the potential to dwarf the earnings Jubilee has reached even at this point going forward. So we're in a very healthy position. We're reaching that point where our own earnings can sustain our growth, which is a key driver we're working towards. So all looking good for a continued strong earnings growth for the company.
Right. Clearly already what you're doing has attracted institutional investors to the shareholder register. Are you confident this will continue, or is the retail investor now a part of the plan going forward as well?
Well, we have to be, we've been very thankful for the retail support we had in times when we didn't have the institutional support. Clearly, as our balance sheet is growing, our earnings continue to grow. We've drawn in, and very thankful for the institutional guys coming in. They're exceptional support of shareholders. They hold us accountable, of course. And I think as our earnings maturity starts growing, where we have repeatable earnings coming through half year after half year, we will no doubt attract more institutional support into our company. And I think that's a very likely reality for us.
Leon Kotzer, CEO at Jubilee Metals Group, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.